Good morning and welcome again. Thank you so much for being a part of our worship here today. You know, as we have been working our way through the books of Mark and John, I sort of feel like everything that we've been studying about Jesus' early ministry has led up to this point. So far, Jesus' ministry has been magnificently popular. People have followed him by the thousands. They've received words of encouragement from him. They've received words of forgiveness, renewal. They've even received their health back. Some of them have even gone so far as to be fed by Jesus. And now we've reached this point where his ministry makes a transition. Jesus, here in this place, goes from speaking words of wisdom and reconciliation and comfort to speaking words of challenge. Not just any challenge, but a challenge that requires the listener to fundamentally change how they understand not just their lives, but life itself. What makes the world the world? What makes reality reality? Jesus asks them, are they willing to accept a new reality, one that is built entirely on his witness? And it's not surprising that at this point, we suddenly see this great falling away. Jesus has had thousands and thousands of followers, all of whom were happy to hear him speak words of comfort and words of healing and words of reconciliation. But now Jesus' ministry and message, it goes to this next place where it speaks words of challenge. Challenge to the way life is understood here on earth. And we know that the crowds abandon him. And Jesus is left with the 12. And he says to the 12, what about you? Are you going to leave me too? And the 12 say, well, where would we go? You have the words of eternal life. We've come to believe that you are the Holy One of God. They were willing to change the way they understood life in the world, to shift their definition of truth, to follow Jesus wherever he went with whatever he said. This set them apart from the crowd. You know, the church has gone through a lot of shifts over the last 200 years here in the United States. We've seen things rise and we've seen things fall. And I, even within my career, I've seen a tremendous number of things that we assume is or is not true about the church to go through drastic changes and shifts. For a while, I worked within the ELCA as a church planter. My job was to go into a community and start a church from the ground up. If that sounds difficult, it's because it is. Especially the world that we live in today, where increasingly people are choosing not to believe in God. It was a very difficult job, and because we are in a very difficult time, there were all of these various different schemes and plans and systems that we could build churches, and during that period is what we called the church growth movement. The church growth movement was this belief that if we could just make our churches attractive enough, if we could just make our churches function in a way that was appealing enough, that we could bring in the masses, and that we could build these great big mega churches. And that was the norm. That was the standard that the expectation was that we would attempt to accomplish. Build these great big mega churches. And, you know, we have them here in our communities. Churches that have grown beyond their own walls and spilled over into other communities with satellite congregations. I had the opportunity to meet one of the fellows who was one of the principal architects of this idea. His name was Francis Chan. Francis had built a megachurch. It was one of those superstar megachurches. And I was at a conference where he was teaching about how to do evangelism and outreach. And someone said to him, Francis, if you were starting over again, what sort of things would you do today to make your congregation effective into the future that are different than the things you did years ago when you started. And Francis stopped for a moment, and he thought. And he said, actually, I'd probably do everything differently. I made a mistake building a megachurch. And this has been something that we've heard time and time again from the megachurch leaders who've stepped back from their ministry. And it's not that we don't think that people need to hear the message of Jesus Christ. It's not that we don't think it's good to reach out to as many people as we can with the message of Jesus Christ. But what Francis was saying to us at that conference, and it stuck so deeply in my heart, was in the effort to make the church attractive to Jesus Christ, do we have to remove what makes Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ, from the message to make it attractive? Because everybody wants to go to a church that has a fun worship service. Everybody wants to go to a church that has marvelous music. Everyone wants to go to a church where we hear words of encouragement, words of forgiveness, words of engagement with God. But the challenge, when it becomes words of challenge, this is where Jesus' true ministry with people began, was with words of challenge, saying, I need you to be a part of my kingdom. If you don't eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, perhaps two of the more abhorrent things that he could ever say to a Jew, because of course their diet was so thoroughly controlled by their faith. If you don't eat of my blood or eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you have no part in me. And the things of this world are just of this world, and the things of this world don't bring you life. Only the things of the Spirit bring life, Jesus says. So all of the things in this world that you value, all of the things in this world that you think hold significance and truth, all of the things in this world that we've all been programmed from the moment we are born to pursue are meaningless, Jesus says. Because only that which is of the Spirit matters. And Jesus offers us life in the Spirit. But it challenges our accepted practice of living. And so the problem with the megachurch movement, and certainly the problem with the church growth movement, was while it did attract great hordes of people, it was left with the question, have we attracted the wrong people? Because Jesus' ministry was a ministry that attracted only those who were willing to hear his challenge and respond if they were going to be his long-term disciples. Otherwise, people came, people left. What is our message? Is our message come and be comfortable? Is our message come and be allowed to feel this sense of marvelous worship that causes us to go home and go back to our lives energized and upbeat? Or are we attracting people who can hear the challenge of Jesus Christ to rethink everything they thought was true about this world and stand firm with Christ over and against the message of this world? As we move into the 21st century, I think the church actually needs to be less attractive. In fact, I think the church needs to be more Jesus. Less flash, less polish, more service, more cross, more crucifixion, more Christ, more challenging. We need to hear the gospel as a challenge that wakes us from this world's sleep and says, now that you're awake, see the truth that you could never see in your sleep, the truth that is only found in Spirit, the truth that is only found in Jesus Christ. Everything that you had before you, that before you thought mattered, is just dust. But Christ is all. If we can find a way to attract those who want to hear that message, then we'll have the new 12 disciples who can build an entire church that spans the world. We need to attract and be attracted to the challenge of Jesus Christ that calls us to new life. And in calling us to new life, calls us away from the old life to embrace something new, something great, something powerful, to embrace the gift of the kingdom of God that brings with it forgiveness, renewal, and a return to right relationship with God Almighty. Are we willing to hear Jesus' challenge as good news? Not as bad news, but as good news. Those crowds that heard Jesus say, I am challenging you to twist and change the way you understand the world, to come and see it the way I see it. They saw that as bad news. The disciples said, you have the words that bring eternal life. They saw it as good news. Which are we, the crowd or the disciples?